This meeting is being recorded.
Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gabriel.io, and I'm here today with Evelyn Hustlinga of Simflower. Good evening, Evelyn. How you doing?
Hi. I'm doing very well. Thank you much for inviting me to your podcast.
Oh, thank you for joining me. And I got your last name right, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so to start with, can you share a brief background of your work history?
Oh, yeah, sure. So my background is a technical one. I studied computer science and worked for several years as a software developer and Scrum Master. And over the last few years, I was fully focusing on founding my own company, which is called Simflower. And at Simflower, our focus is providing productivity boosts to software developers. We do that by fully automating the process of unit testing, which are somewhat developer tests. They are usually very tedious and time consuming to write, and we automated the process of writing them. Yeah.
Very cool. I wish I'd had that many years ago when I started. you don't by chance have a COBOL version, do you? I used to work in COBOL. Probably not.
Not yet. So we support Go and Java, but no COBOL.
Okay, and any plans to go to JavaScript and Python, which are two pretty popular ones right now?
Yes, they are, but I guess that will be in 2023. So we have our hands full currently with Java and Go.
Okay.
But so, yes, we get that request a lot, so it's on the roadmap.
Yes. So, I mean, obviously, it sounds like your typical audience is it the software development community? Would it be more like a director of development, or who is your target audience?
Really, all software developers that use our supported languages.
Okay, and worldwide, there's got to be millions of those. Do you generally target like companies, or do you like the digital nomad, or you don't really care? Whoever needs your services, is that what your target audience is?
Yes, so we are following a bottom-up approach. We market directly to the software developers.
Okay, and it sounds like your product actually saves them a lot of time, because I know there's been a push probably in the last 10 years to write the testing code as you're writing the actual code. And so it sounds like that's what you take off of, you know, that's what you alleviate them from. And sometimes that can be more code than the actual testing code, give you more code than the actual code, correct?
Yes, that's right. Yes. So it saves a lot of time, and you can also spot edge cases that you might have overlooked otherwise. Mm-hmm. So the tool is available for free. When you go to get.simflower.com, you can simply download it and give it a try. And I'd love to hear some feedback.
Okay, well, I will mention it to the developers at Gabe. I'm pretty sure there are some Java and some Go developers there.
Perfect.
So the name Simflower, interesting name. Can you explain to us how you came up with that?
Yes. So in the very beginning, we were using a tool for prototyping the user interface of Simflower, and the name that was suggested there was Project Sunflower. And for a very long time, we didn't know how we should call our tool and company. So we were very long working on Project Sunflower, which is not a good, not a good company name. But Simflower is built up a technology called symbolic execution. So Sunflower became Simflower.
Ah, very interesting. So 2.5 years now into the pandemics, and you've been in business for more than 2.5 years. I remember it's about 5 years, correct? Yeah. So what effect did that have on your company? Were you a 9-to-5, everybody comes into the office company, or were you already a remote company?
We had a hybrid solution. So before the pandemic, we almost only had Austrian employees. Mm-hmm. And the setting was that people who have to commute a very long way to the Simflower headquarters could work 1 to 2 days per week from home and 3 at the office. But we always wanted to have people with us at least like three days a week, which was a good thing when the pandemic hit, because almost or all processes were already set up for working remotely. So it was not that big of a challenge to do the switch from, you know, working at the headquarters and working at home. I guess what was a bit different is that also hiring took place fully remotely out of a sudden, and that was a bit, a stranger. I wasn't used to that yet. But it also worked out really well.
Interesting. And then, so did you have people in your company that weren't in Austria before the pandemic, or was everybody in Austria?
So when the pandemic hit, we had only people who lived in Austria. And with the pandemic, we started also hiring outside from Austria.
And today you have, do you have employees from different parts of Europe and even other parts of the world?
Yeah, but we're still like 90% in Austria and some, for instance, in Hungary.
And how far is Hungary from Austria? I'm not familiar with
that. Not far. It's like you could be there in a few hours by train. Oh,
okay. So now that, I mean, things have opened up here pretty much in the U.S. Are things opened up there? Like where people are coming back to the office?
Yes. So we're... The last lockdown is already a very long time ago, I think. And also like restrictions are pretty much dropped. But we're still in more of a remote setting than an on-site setting. So people can work at the office if they like to, but they're free to work from home.
And on 5 days like a week?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And have you noticed a difference in productivity between coming into the office and then and working from home?
So I think from my perspective, I first felt like I got a bit of a productivity boost when I switched to the home office because I wasn't disturbed so often by colleagues who had questions to me. Mm-hmm. But I think that productivity also comes at a cost because when you're in home office, you wait a bit longer to reach out to a colleague when you need help. Mm-hmm. So you might try to solve things longer on your own where another person could instantly tell you what you need to do. And that's, I think, part of the challenge to get right when you're in home office, to encourage people to reach out for help sooner. Yeah.
Yes. I would agree with you. And I think a lot of people have been working through that over the last 2.5 years. I think now people are much more comfortable with it, but I think you're right. At first it was kind of like, oh, I'm all alone and I've got 3 kids I got to take care of. Right. So going forward, do you think that you'll be hiring people that are from anywhere in the world, or do you think you'll continue to concentrate on Europe and that, you know, close to Austria?
So when we are currently looking for employees in the marketing department, and it's pretty hard to find marketers for developer tools. So they seem to be somewhat rare, and for that we need to look outside of Austria too. But here we focused on Europe and not too much time shift, you know, like for you it's currently in the morning, for me it's already almost the end of the day. So it's good to have, I guess, at least 6 hours overlap in working times, or maybe four. So that would be one focus. And another one is when you hire employees in other countries, you need to obey other working laws. So you need to figure out how they are and what the rules there are. So each new country is another administrative overhead for you. So that's a downside again.
Yeah. Well, and then you take it in the United States even further. You not only have to deal with U.S. working law, but also each individual state, which and I would think you would want to stay on the East Coast of the United States, and you want that overlap. Although I think you're probably 6 hours ahead of New York, correct?
I would need to check. I don't know off the top of my head.
Either 5 or 6. Yeah. Yeah. Cause well, it's 12 o'clock in New York right now. So.
Yeah.
Yes. So 6 hours.
It's still a bit too much.
Yes. Interesting. So going forward, as you grow, what do you think? Do you think it's going to be and your customers, do you think it's going to be a remote world, or do you think it's going to be hybrid, or do you think it's going to go back to, you know, 9 to 5, everybody in the office, which is what Elon Musk is saying he wants to do with his companies?
I would like to have a hybrid solution. Mm-hmm. So to be able to hire all around the world, because talent is not only in Austria, not only in Europe, obviously, but it's also vital to have some touch points with your colleagues, because working is not just about output, it's also about the, you know, interpersonal connections you can build up. And that still feels way easier when you can be in the same room. So if you have a lunch break together, if you have a coffee break together, if you have in-person team events, and if you have a solution for me, how I can do all these things fully remotely in a very good way, then maybe 100% remote would work. But we haven't found it yet.
Yeah, I don't think. I think the one solution a lot of people do is the distributed work. They'll have remote offices in other parts of the world.
Yeah,
they'll have their own little community there, right? And then, then the CEO would fly to those areas to build that relationship.
So I think I was trying to describe something like that.
Ah, okay. Well, I think that's what a lot of people are doing. I think if you want to market to, you know, the Asian world, you might have to have an office like in Singapore. If you want to, you know, North America, you would probably do something in New York City or maybe the Carolinas or something like that. Correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Evelyn, it's been great talking to you. I want to thank you for your time today. I know it's late there. I'll let you get on with your evening. But thanks again, and have a great night.
Yeah, thank you. You too.